I know who I am. I appreciate... Ooh. Good morning. I appreciate you coming through that 2 foot of snow to get here this morning. I'm Brother Kevin Mann from Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Alvarado, Texas. It's a long ways from here. But I was saved at this church back in 1972 at the little bitty building over on the very far extent of the property. That building, probably about as big as that choir loft, maybe not much bigger. I was an 18-year-old dopehead. Long hair, played drums in rock and roll bands, and all over here in Central Florida. And my sister, brother-in-law, invited me to come to church. They had gotten saved. Brother Carl Hatch and Brother Mickey Carter had gone out to their home and led them to Christ. And they started after me because they knew I was a godless heathen. And I said, okay, if you'll leave me alone, I'll come and visit. Well, I came on the Easter Sunday morning in April of 1972. And the singers got up to sing, the preacher got up to preach, and I don't know what they said, but as soon as they said the amen to leave, I ran out the back door under conviction because I knew what a godless, lost, hellbound sinner that I was. But miraculously, the next Sunday I came back. Brother Mickey got up to preach, singers got up to sing, and during the invitation, the Lord said to me, Kevin, you have lived, as an 18-year-old boy, you've lived the life of a 40-year-old man. This is your last chance. I believe God will give you a warning when he's fixed to pull the plug on you, amen. And so as soon as they bowed to pray for the invitation, I came forward. They took the Bible, the old King James Bible, not the new King James or the perverted NIV and all. They took the King James Bible, the Word of God, and showed me how that I, as an 18-year-old long-haired dopehead, could give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he would save me, though unworthy. And so I gave my heart and life to him, was on staff here for several years. Some of you are still here from those days. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be back. I love Landmark. I consider my home church. Even though I'm in Texas, I'm considered Brother Carter my pastor, even though I have a pastor in Texas, but he's my father in the ministry. And what a blessing he's been to my life. Let me give you a quick advertisement before I get started. My first mentioned study Bible, it's a King James Bible. It's just been produced this past September, it's come out on the market. And it is a first mentioned study Bible. It's a King James Bible, but every time a word shows up for the very first time, it'll be in bold type. And if it appears only one time in the Bible, it'll be in bold type, but it'll be underlined. So as you're reading the scripture and you're studying the Bible, you know immediately that's the first time that word shows up in the Bible, or that's the only time it shows up in the Bible. And then behind each book, like behind the book of Genesis, I have my commentary or my what I call nuggets in the book of Genesis, behind the book of Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, right on through. So I have my notes behind each book of the Bible. So if you'd like to have one of those, then please see me afterward, and I appreciate it. Turn in your Bible, please, this morning to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. I'm going to use this whiteboard because I'm pretty simple, and I have to see something to be able to understand it. And some of you are that way also. And what I'm going to talk to you this morning about the candlestick. Exodus chapter 25. And the first time that the word candlestick shows up in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 25. And as soon as I get there, we'll read that, okay? Verse number 31, Exodus 25, 31. Now, I believe that the first time a word shows up in the Bible is the most important, because that is the place where you can find out the definition of the word, the association of that word with other words in the scripture. And so the first mention of a word is always the most important. So the first time we see the word candlestick is here in Exodus 25, 31. Now the context, you know, of course, is the Lord is giving Moses instruction on the tabernacle and what to put in the tabernacle. And so what we're looking at this morning is one of those units that the Lord told Moses to put in the tabernacle. So in verse number 31, we'll begin there, and it says, "Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold of beaten work. Shall the candlestick be made?" Now, so let me stop there. Moses says, you take a talent of gold, a big block of, a talent could be as much as 80 pounds, and the Lord says, now you take that block of gold and you beat out a candlestick that's going to give light over against the showbread that is right across the way from it. And so this candlestick is not to be melted and poured, but is to be beaten. And a artisan takes his hammer and his things, and he starts beating, and he beats this entire candlestick out of one lump of gold. And he says, "Thou shalt make the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same." In other words, everything is going to come out of that one lump of gold. We know that gold in the Bible is a picture of deity. In the candlestick and in the mercy seat and the cherubims, there is no wood. It's all gold. It's all solid gold, because wood is a type of humanity. Now, the table of showbread, that has wood in it, because the Lord Jesus Christ was man and he was God at the same time. And so the table of showbread has wood and gold. But the candlestick is just pure God, pure spirit. The mercy seat is just pure God, pure spirit. And so it says that this candlestick is to be made out of one lump of gold. Verse 32, "And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like an almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches, that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. There shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlesticks. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be beaten, a one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, the snuff dishes thereof, shall be pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels." All right, now so we have a description of what the Lord told Moses to make. Make this candlestick. And he said, it's going to have a shaft, and it's going to have six branches, three out of one side and three out of the other side. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of John? He said, "I'm the true vine, and ye are the branches." So this candlestick here is a picture of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Now, the Holy Ghost, the number for the Holy Ghost is 9. And the words Holy Ghost appears 90 times in the Bible. And so 9 is also the number of fruit bearing. And so the Lord told Moses, build this thing, make the shaft with its knops, its flowers, and its mold. have three, have four knops, flowers, and bowls in the staff. But in the candles, in the branches, is to have three knops, flowers, and bowls. I know you love my artwork. And the same on this side. Three, 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 three. Knop, a flower, a bowl. Knop, a flower, a bowl. What is a knop and a flower and a bowl? They look like an almond, like, you know, you've seen an almond like that. That's the bowl. And the knop is the bud or the fruit nut in the almond. And then, of course, the flower. And so it speaks of resurrection. The almond, the flower, the knop, and the bowl all speaks of the all three aspects of the development of an almond. And it speaks of resurrection. And so the Bible says that in each branch, you have a knop, a flower, and a bowl, three in each branch. But in the staff, you're to have four of those. And on top of the candlestick, you're to have a lamp, seven lamps. And in those lamps is a wick, and there's light that comes off of these lamps to give light over against the table of showbread that has 6 by 6 loaves of bread. 6 by 6, like 66, like your King James Holy Bible. 6 by 6. Now, there are two numbers primarily associated with the King James Bible, and that is 66, because we have 66 books in our King James Bible. And it was given in 1611, which is the year we received that book. These are the two primary numbers associated with the construction of the King James Bible. And I could spend 4 hours giving you coincidences in the Bible concerning 66 and 1611, but I won't do that. But I will show you this, that God works by sevens. Seven is the number of completion, it's the number of perfection. When God does something by sevens, he has finished it. He worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. It was complete. So you have 7 days in a week. Every individual has seven holes in their head. 2, 4, 6, 7. God does things by sevens. There are seven appendages on every body. The trunk, from the trunk proceeds seven appendages, whether male or female, it doesn't matter. God does things by seven. Seven is the number of completion. The two numbers associated with the King James Bible primarily was 6 plus 1. Was 6 plus 1. And 6 plus 1. 7, 7, 7. God has sevened the King James Bible. And when he sevens something, when the Lord swears by himself, he literally sevens himself. So seven is the number, the triune number of God. Now, you remember over in 1 John 5:7, it says there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the capital W Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. It's one number, but there's three placements. These three are one. The King James Bible and God are so closely connected that you can't get them apart. Now, I'll give you this little illustration here. God is infinite. God has no beginning and no ending. He always has been and he always will be. He never will be a time where he will not exist. He is infinite. And so God has to use an infinite language to talk to us. He is so far above us, it's unbelievable. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our thoughts. And so God has ordained in the King James Bible, he has chosen to authenticate the King James Bible with numbers. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, then you have a Catholic counterfeit. Now, is this a Bible conference this week? Okay, well, let's talk Bible. You either have the Word of God or you've got a Catholic counterfeit. If you got a New King James, you've got a Catholic counterfeit. If you've got the NIV, you've got a Catholic counterfeit, a satanic counterfeit. It's going to get rougher than that, buddy. I'm telling you that right there. Amen. We believe and hold to that the King James Bible is the perfect, infallible, preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people in the last days. Amen. I say bless His holy name for that. And so God is infinite, so He has to use an infinite language. God has decided to use numbers to authenticate His Bible. Numbers are a type of God. No matter how far this way you go, you'll never run out of God.
That's right.
No matter how far this way you go, you never run out of God. He's always has been, always will be. That's the same thing with numbers. No matter how far that way you go from zero, you never run out of a number. You keep adding a number, a digit. They're infinite. And no matter how far that way you go, you'd never run out of numbers. So numbers are a type of God. God uses numbers to authenticate His Bible. Now, so here we have this candlestick. And we have three branches on this side, three branches on that side. We have a shaft. And the Lord said to put a knot flower in a bowl, a knot flower in a bowl, a knot flower in a bowl. Three on each branch, and then four down the middle. Now, everything that in the world revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. If you're going to produce fruit, you're going to have to abide in me. Now, I want to do a little bit of math. Can I do some math with you? What's 3 plus 3 plus 3? Way to go. There is hope. 3, 6, 9. 3, 6, 9. 3, 6, 9, 12. 3, 6, 9. 3, 6, 9, and 3, 6, 9. There you have the candlestick. Say, Brother Kevin, what's that got to do with anything? I told you earlier that 9 is the number of the Holy Ghost. And I'm ringing. 9 is the number of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that illuminates the Word of God in the church age. Now, let me give you another little diagram here. This is, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to, that's fine. But when the Lord ascended from glory, from the cross, he resurrected and then he ascended. Well, the Holy Ghost came right behind him after 50 days, and the Holy Ghost began baptizing believers into the body of Christ. So the body of Christ had to be there already. In John 20, 22, you have a one verse of scripture that is just blows my mind, and it says this, that the day that the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, He walked into the upper room. He said, peace be unto you. And then He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's where the body of Christ began. Now, you remember something else that happened in Genesis 2 where God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul? Well, Jesus Christ breathed into the nostrils of the apostles. They become Holy Ghost-filled individuals. And then 50 days later, when the Holy Ghost came, that he started baptizing everybody into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Am I losing you there? Or let's keep going. From the development of the body of Christ and the coming of the Holy Ghost to the end of the church age, when the church is raptured out, is what we call the church age. Is also in the Bible talked about as evening. Evening. church age is a dark time. The sun has left, leaving us in darkness with the Holy Ghost of God illuminating his word to us during the dark time of the church age. But in the morning, the sun comes up. After the tribulation period, in the morning, the sun comes up and it returns to this earth. Now, here's something peculiar. At the end of the church age, the Holy Ghost of God who lives within me and you is going to vacate this world. Now, there are seven spirits of God. I'm not talking about the spirit that God's leaving the earth. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost is leaving the earth. And when he goes out, we go out with him. I say bless his holy name right there, somebody. Somebody needs to say amen. When the Holy Ghost of God leaves this place, we're going out with him. Then the world's going to go through 7 years of tribulation, and then the sun will arise, and he'll bring judgment at the Armageddon, and you know the whole story. But in the evening time, we need a light. In the daytime, you don't need a light. We don't need lamps in the walk around the sunshine. But in the nighttime, in the evening time, the church age, we need a lamp. We need a light. Now, the Lord knew that when he told Moses to build this, that the King James Bible would have 66 books in it. You say, Brother Kevin, where do you get that? There's 39 books in the Old Testament. 9 plus 9 plus 9 plus 12, 39. And there's 27 books in the New Testament. 9 plus 9 plus 9 is 27. What's 39 and 27? 66. God knew when he told Moses to build this, the light would be upon the 66 books of the Bible. Now let's look at this. There's 22 knops, there's 22 bowls, and there's 22 flowers. That's 66. 66, as in 6x6. So the candlestick shows us as a picture of the Holy Ghost, and it's a picture of the Bible, what the Bible is going to consist of in the last days. All right, now, so let me look at, let me show you this right here. In the tabernacle, of course, we have the furnishings of the tabernacle. We have the Ark of the Covenant. We have the lampstand. We have the table of showbread. Now, the table of showbread has 12 loaves of bread on it. It has 6x6 loaves of bread, 6x6. Now, the loaves of bread are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to teach that it was a picture of the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles. None of that. It's Jesus Christ himself. Because he said in John 6, I am the bread of life. Amen. The bread that's on the table of showbread is a type of Jesus Christ. The box itself is a type of Jesus Christ. It has two crowns around the table of showbread. You have a set of crowns and then a hand's breadth, you have another set of crowns. Why is there two crowns? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, was a king of the kingdom of God and king of the kingdom of heaven at the same time. Both kingdoms were present when he was on this earth. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is physical. And that's why the Lord said that the violent take the kingdoms by storm. You can take a physical kingdom. That's what they're doing over all around the world, trying to blow each other up. They're trying to take one another's kingdom. You can take earthly kingdoms by violence, but you cannot take the kingdom of God by violence. So there's two kingdoms. In the beginning, God, spiritual, created. That's physical. Two kingdoms. And when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he wore the crown of both of these kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so this lampstand shows light over against the Word of God. Jesus, John 1 says, in the beginning was the capital W Word. That capital W Word appears 7 times in the Bible. It is always depicting the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And so it's very clear that the capital W Word 7 times in the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this isn't in the message, but tonight or this afternoon when you get home, look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. You're going to find something very peculiar. That's where you find the first time you find the capital W Word of God. First mention is always most important, amen. And if you read those 5 verses in 1 John, in John chapter 1, the 5 verses, you will see the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see who Jesus is. You will see that He is God. And those 5 verses just happened. I know it's just accident. I know it's just coincidence. Don't get excited. I know this. I know man did all this, okay? So don't get excited. But if you read those 5 verses and count the words, there just happens to be 66 words in those 5 verses explaining who Jesus Christ is. 66, as in 66 books of the Bible. Now, folks, if you got a King James Bible, you've got the right book. This is the Word of God, and there's not another one on the earth like it. You've got the right book. If you've got a King James Bible, you've got the right book. You've got God's Word. So we have the candlestick, and everything in the candlestick adds up to 66, as in 66 books. Now let me show you something else. It's always called the candlestick. Just happens to be 14 letters. 2 times 7. Now I want you to look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Hope you got your Bible. I hope you love your Bible. Hope you cherish this book, because you got this book from bloody hands through prison bars. People died to give you this book. People went to prison to give you this book. And God help you if you don't ever pick it up between services. Amen, Brother Kevin. We get through a church and we go out there, we throw it up on our dash, or we throw it on the coffee table, and you never pick it up. This is God's Word. Study it, read it, pray over it. God help us at the judgment seat of Christ if that's the kind of Christian we are. All right, now I want you to look at Psalm 119 and verse 105. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible, and it's every verse is about the Word of God, His statutes, His commandments, His precepts, His guidance. Every verse in Psalm 119. Are we having a Bible conference this week? Don't we love the Bible? Let me show you something about the Bible. Psalm 119 just happens to be the longest chapter of the Bible, but it also happens to be the chapter about the Word of God. How many verses are in Psalm 119? 176 verses in Psalm 119, which just happens to be, I know it's just an accident, don't get excited, just happens to be 16 times 11. You got a King James Bible? You got the right book. You got a 1611 King James Bible? You've got the right book. Now look at Psalm 119, 105. It says this: Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light light unto my path. Just happens to have 14 words in that verse, which is 2 times 7. 7 is the number of completion and perfection. It just happens to have 43 letters, which just by coincidence is the 14th prime number, which is 2 times 7. The number 119 just happens to be, I know it's just coincidence, 17 times 7. And the number 105 just happens to be 15 times 7. Now, folks, where are you going to get a book like this? You say, well, man added everything to it. Oh, God was all over them when they added it, I tell you that. Man could not have done this and would not have done this. This book is supernatural. The King James Bible is supernatural. If you've got the King James Bible, you've got the Word of God. This is God's Word. The thing is covered up with sevens. And let me give you a couple. Can I give you a couple? The seven spirits of God. And they're defined in Daniel chapter 5 and in Isaiah chapter 11. The name Jesus appears 980 times in the Bible. Now, there's 3 mentions of a Jesus that is not the Jesus that I'm talking about. There's 3 anti-mentions of Jesus, total of 983, but you take those 3 off, and there's 980 mentions of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Kevin, what's that got to do with anything? 980 just happens to be, by accident, 70 times 7 plus 70 times 7. Bunch of sevens going on there. The words "in Christ" appear 77 times in the Bible. The phrase "verily I say," Jesus spoke that. "Verily I say unto you," or "verily I say unto thee," just happens to appear 77 times in the Bible. The little L lamb, 77 times in the Bible. The capital L lamb, 28 times in the Bible, which is 4 times 7. The phrase "son of man" appears 196 times in the Bible, which is 7 times 28. And it goes on and on. The candlestick, the Word of God, is divided into 7 different sections. You have the prophets. You have the writings. You have the Psalms. You have the Gospels. That's the reason why there's 4 of 3s on here. And then you have Acts, the church epistles, and Revelation, 7 divisions of the Bible. There's 7 feasts of the Jewish feasts in the Bible. And they appear within 7 months. There's 5 months that are, there's no feasts, which is a picture of the church age. See, we don't have to have a feast. We feast every day. We feast on Jesus every day. He is within us. So there's 7 feasts in 7 months of the Bible. Years of human history. I mean, I could go on and on, but I'm running out of time. Listen, folks. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. God gave us the candlestick with the numbers 66 ingrained in it 2,000 years before the completion of the canon of Scripture. God knew what we were going to have. And so he gave us that as a description of the Holy Ghost and of the Word of God. I hope you love your Bible. I hope that this week at the Bible conference, as the pastor, preachers preach, that you will learn to grow fonder and love your Bible, your King James Bible. Don't let the devil take your sword away from you. The devil slips in all of these 300 different perversions to get this Bible out of your hand. He knows that if he can get this Bible out of your hand, then he's got you whipped. Because this is your sword. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't let any preacher, Greek you or Hebrew you, out of this Word of God. You've got it in the English. You don't need the Greek and Hebrew. If Greek and Hebrew was so great, then Israel would be the greatest spiritual place on the earth, and Greece would be the greatest spiritual place on the earth. It's not the Greek and the Hebrew, it's the King James English. God bless you, brother. You got it.